yo, yo, hello, hello, hello again. Yes, indeed. Here we are again. My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
And you are, in fact, listening to the Carolyn Joe Show! Just in case you didn't hear, that's the Carolyn and Joe Show. My name is Joe. I'm a filmmaker, a writer, whatever you want to call me these days. I'm here for you. Across from the studio is my fancy and awesome co-host, the one and only cartoonist of a million lines, a million beautiful lines, Carolyn Bilewski. How's it going, Carolyn?
I'm fancy.
Fancy. So we've made it to the end. This is the final Awesome Con panel that we are releasing here. Another exclusive. I always felt like, you know, if we're going to keep all these together, we're going to just group them all in. So you guys have been listening to the Live Weezer, the Pinkerton and Blue album, just so we don't get in trouble. But Live Weezer, Live Awesome Con, what do we have for today, Carolyn? What do we have for them?
From what you tell me, we have the Kevin Sorbo interview that you moderated, which is pretty impressive. I was not able to be there to witness this event, but I did see photographs. So I know it happened, even though Photoshop is still around, you know, so you can never trust any image. But I know for a fact that you did moderate this panel, and I'm excited to hear it. I mean, you've been watching Hercules for a really long time, ever since I've known you. So I hope you did pretty well with some Hercules questions. I don't know what questions you asked.
It's crazy.
So I'm going to listen in a few minutes.
I actually did not ask many questions. It was.
You just kept the flow going.
I kept the flow going because, of course, it's Kevin Sorbo's time, and of course, I was a massive Hercules and Xena fan. That like branched me off into watching Buffy and all those shows like that stuff. That was my Saturday show at like 6:15 or 12:30 on like WGN or Channel 50 or whatever the channel was. You know, back in syndication days, it was a really important time. So I felt like they're really revolutionary. They beat Babe Watch, all that stuff.
They beat
Babe Watch.
Is that what they call it, Babe Watch?
Sorry, Baywatch. I always get that mixed up.
I mean, it's easy to get that confused.
I always get that
you
confused
because like,
there's babes
with
in
Pam
there,
Anderson.
And there's babes, and there's babes on both of them. But yeah, it was pretty amazing just to have that opportunity again. Thanks, Ben Penrod and Awesome Con for, you know, just giving me a chance to, you know, spend an hour, you know, being Kevin Sorbo's partner as he answers every single question that people can think of. Because in my head, it seemed only proper that it's the audience's thing. You know, people come there
definitely.
To see. You know, they don't really want to see. I gave them my time. You know what I mean? But at the end of the day, it's Kevin Sorbo's time, and it's. But the one good review one of the good reviews I heard from my time with Kevin Sorbo was that Kevin Sorbo and I were like a team up there. Like, we really played it up. Another good review was, like, you know, Teresa Roberts Logan, who was, like, in another room. Like, she was like, what's going on there? You guys are, like, rocking the house. Everyone's laughing
rocking.
Like crazy. And, like, I would like to think that I was part of that I kept that energy going. You know what I mean? I high-fived Kevin Sorbo in the middle of that when he gave an awesome comment. It was great. It was a good time. Who knew it was going to happen? You know, and, and just like every other time, 3, 2, 1, Carolyn's news.
Yeah, the news is that Joe got Kevin Sorbo touch points from a high five. All right, guys, boning down to the last couple weeks until the Cartoonist Draw Blood Blood Drive. This is a blood drive that I'm organizing with National Cartoonist Society, and it's with the American Red Cross. So what's going to happen is you donate blood to the American Red Cross and you get a free sketch by one of Washington, D.C.'s finest artists on the spot. You get to meet the cartoonist and get a sketch as you're donating blood, not at that same time, because we let you go in the room with the Red Cross and you get that done. It only takes about 10 minutes. It didn't take me very long. Some people might take 15 minutes because of the way their blood flows, but it doesn't take very long at all. And so basically, and you can come by and meet us and have cookies and snacks too. It's gonna be pretty fun. We've done this one time before last fall, and Red Cross asked us to come back because we were so successful the first time. We saved up to 90 lives in one day. It was pretty amazing. So again, this is Cartoonists Draw Blood. It's gonna be Saturday, May 31st, 2014. That means it's the last day in May. It's a good way to remember that. So 10 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. at Seekers Church. This is a one block from Tacoma Metro. And if you want to arrange an appointment, you can email cartoonistsdrawblood@gmail.com, or you can walk in. The reason why we have the blood appointments is to keep everything flowing and two people every 15 minutes and so forth. But if you don't know yet what you're doing on that day, you can walk in. This is on May 31st at Seekers Church in Tacoma Metro. You can also go to curl-studio.com to find out all the information on this. And that's a pretty nice way to give back and also get something in return. You can put up on your wall and you can remember that day always. But yeah, I'm really excited about that. And me and Troy are putting on this event this year.
Troy Jeffrey Allen?
Yes, Troy Jeffrey Allen and I are...
Yes, does he have one of those...
Co-conspirators.
Is Troy... I always wonder if, like, are we supposed to tell Troy, like, say, like, by his whole entire name?
We'll just say Troy, because I like just the Troy.
Yeah.
He can own that, because he's the only Troy I know.
That's right.
So that's pretty awesome. Yeah, and also another quick announcement is Magic Bullet Comics. Several of you have heard about it and gotten a free newspaper. It's Washington, D.C.'s comics newspaper that I edit. And this is my fourth issue editing. Will be coming out very soon, but it's not too late to get your comic submission in. The comic submissions are due July 1st, 2014, and it will be a Western-themed issue. For more details, go to magicbulletcomics.com. And you'll find all the specs, all the sizes, everything you need to know. Pretty much everything is there, so you shouldn't be asking me questions. No, just kidding. If you have questions, you can email me at info@curls-studio.com. I'm looking forward to all of your submissions. It should be really great. You can have fun with it. It's a Western.
You can't really go wrong with that. Westerns are pretty... I don't know. I always feel like if people can't find a reason to write... then maybe they shouldn't be writing. I don't know. just any motivation is always good. And if it's a Western, go for it, you know? Westerns aren't a lot of things.
Yeah, I mean, you don't have to take it super literally as, like, a guy in a cowboy hat and, like, a showdown. But you can if you want. But even if you have just a subtle mention of, like, a cactus or just out in the wilderness, the blank space of dirt and sand... that's also Western, so
yeah.
you can have fun with that.
Yeah.
Let your mind grow.
So, ladies and gentlemen, you guys are about to listen to Live from AwesomeCon. It's the Kevin Sorbo panel that was moderated by me, Joe Carabeo. So it's pretty much Joe Carabeo talks to Kevin Sorbo in front of a live audience and taking questions. It's actually, I was there in person. I had the best seat in the house. It was pretty amazing, and I feel like we had them in the palm of our hands. We had that. So I hope you guys enjoy this, and I'll see you after the panel, Carolyn.
Enjoy. I'll be listening.
We have the real Hercules here. But we need to tell the people what his name is. Ladies and gentlemen, what is his name?
Kevin Sorbo!
What is his name?
Kevin Sorbo!
What is his name?
Kevin Sorbo!
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Sorbo!
I do have to tell a story about that, actually. One time I called my oldest brother, and his wife answered, and just had something to talk to my brother about. She talked for a while, and she goes, "Can you call him later? I got horny off your voice. I'm going to go screw your brother." It's a true story. Sorry, kids.
I'm not going to lie, Kevin. I sort of did too right now.
So happy Easter, everyone.
Happy Easter.
Thank you. So, Sunday. It's always quiet on Sundays. But when you mix a Sunday with an Easter holiday, it's probably not the best thing for keeping people. So I appreciate you guys coming out. It's very, very nice. Thank you. So,
sir, is this your first time in D.C.?
No, I've been coming for years. I have the number one after school program in the state of California. It's called the World Fit for Kids. So I come under every year to talk to the bozos in Congress and try to knock some common sense into both sides of the political aisle. They're just idiots. They're dumbing down our kids in this country, and I'm trying to fight against that. So if you got kids and your parents, please pay attention to what they're teaching in public schools. Trust me. It's amazing. California now ranks 50th in the country. We're the worst public educated state in the country. We passed Mississippi about 2.5 years ago, so we're very proud. We're best at being worst. Go California.
I like that because in reality, you are fighting evil.
I am. That's true. I'm doing my best. Well, no, if you want to go online, check it out. It's called The World Fit for Kids. I've been doing it for 17 years. LA County is one of the worst school districts in the country. Actually, you got one close by here in Baltimore, which has the highest dropout rate in the country, guys. Baltimore does, the school district. But California's not far behind. 54% of the kids drop out by the fifth grade and above. And I work with over 12,000 kids. That's about as much as we can squeeze in of the budget we're on. We're a nonprofit. And we have a 98% graduation rate and a 67% higher GPA. So I'm doing my little bit. So, anyway, let's talk about the fun stuff.
Let's talk about the fun stuff. Anyone has a question, there is a mic.
Yeah, let's go for it. I can pontificate, but
right.
I'll do that anyway.
Yeah.
Questions come to the middle. Kevin.
Kevin, you're going to answer anything, right?
I'll answer anything. I know people want to hear, but I'll answer.
There will be an answer.
Just don't get too technical. One guy brought like this folder that was about 8 inches thick, and he opened it up, and he starts talking about episode 78 on Andromeda, and I just glazed over and said blue. So, I'm sorry, I thought you asked my favorite color. It was a 10-minute question, and I just went, what? He knows the show better than me. Yes?
So, you were in one episode of Psych. How was it working on the set of Psych with those silly guys?
You know, it was fun for me to go back up to Vancouver because I shot Andromeda there for 5 years. And half of my crew from Andromeda, they're now on Psych. So it was like a little homecoming for me. And those guys are a hoot to work with. I mean, they were so nice that I came in to do it, and I got to play the bounty hunter, and it was just fun. You know, I'd love to go do it again. They've had a long run, I think 7-8 seasons. I think it might be is that the last season they're done? But that's a good one. I gotta tell you, I had a 7-year run on Hercules, a 5-year run on Andromeda. Only 3% of shows that Hollywood make it to a fifth season. Only 3%. Think about that. I mean, how many shows do you see that don't last more than 5-6 episodes and yank it off the air? So I did the last season of The O.C. Most people know what The O.C. is or was, but that went 4 seasons. Didn't make it to the 5th season. So it's tough to get that long of a run. So it was pretty cool what they did.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
With hundreds of episodes that you have as an actor, then moving to producing, how did you find that? And did you ever imagine you'd make that transition across? Because you've done a lot of different roles in the producing area.
You know, I went into producing my own money because I got tired of agents and managers not doing their jobs. They want me to pay 10%, but they want me to do all the work. And I got tired of that. And I actually fired my agent, had an agent for a long time. I only have a manager now. And she's great. She actually, I'm sure there's some fans in here of her show that she exec produced called The Vikings. Yeah. And that's a good show. And I'd love to get on that show, but you have to be part of the British Commonwealth type thing. I mean, that's how things are for these tax credits. Like, take Canada, for instance. It's an American show. It's Gene Roddenberry's show. It's the first show he created after Star Trek in 1969. We shot in Canada, but Canada, to get the tax credit, you have to hire 75% of the actors have to be Canadian, 100% of the crew has to be Canadian. And so you're limited to what you want to do to try to bring other people that you wanted. I mean, Jason Alexander wanted to be in the show. He's a big Gene Roddenberry fan. And they said, oh, you know, number one, we can't do it just because of the tax credit thing. And I said, dude, it's George from Seinfeld. I mean, come on. You know, he's a geek, you know, bring him up here, you know. So, but, you know, you do what you can, but the producer thing happened because they just, I started meeting, I'm a golf nut, for those of you who don't know that. I do a lot of golfing, and I meet a lot of these big CEO guys, and they all say, you know, I'd love to invest in a movie. I've never really done it, blah, blah, blah. And so I said, you know what, this is the route for me to go, to produce and get people that aren't really Hollywood people, that have the money to sort of burn through. And most of the movies that I've been working on, they're $500,000 to $5 million range. And it's been an interesting, because I've been in the business a long time, so I've learned a lot. And you just, I've been directing still. I got a couple things I've been doing. I'm doing one for the Sci-Fi Channel that we're going to shoot in the Philippines. Thank you. It's called The Temple of Kali. It's a, I die halfway through it, but I'm busy directing, so. But it's like Indiana Jones, so there'll be a giant snake in there somewhere. I like to wear different hats, but I really, acting is still what I love. That's what I love the most to do, so. There you go.
For your role as Hercules, did you have to do a lot of research on Greek and Roman gods and, for authenticity? And do you enjoy doing that kind of research?
I just had research on looking good. it's funny how I got that. I mean, they put me through 7 auditions for that role over a 2-month period. And by the 6th and 7th time, I was like, that's what you guys want. Because they didn't give me new sides to read, they didn't change any direction, it was just always the same thing. And the last time I went in, everybody was there. Sam Raimi was there, Sam Raimi was our exec producer. He's done a few things. But it was like 15 people, studio, these guys at Universal Studios, all these suits, there's about 12 of them were guys and 3 of the women in there. And at the end of that 7th meeting, it was down, they had narrowed it down. They looked at 2,800 people read for that role. So welcome to your odds in Hollywood. And they felt embarrassed. And one of the women said, I hate to have to ask this, but we had to see you without your shirt on. And I wasn't as big as I ended up getting on the show, but I was still pretty big. I was like 230, 235 when I actually did the show, but I was around 220 when I did it. I was still working out all the time, because as an actor, there's a lot of frustration. There's a lot of rejection. So to get rid of that, I lived about a mile from Gold's Gym in Venice. So I work out every day, and I would go, there's a bike path that goes forever, and I'd eat a rollerblade or bike about 50 miles a day. So I was in really good shape when I got the part. So I take my shirt off, and there was a collective, oh, in the room. And so I said, yeah, I'm a lot bigger with my clothes off. And that got a little laugh, and a couple groans, sorry. And then Sam Raimi said, he goes, would you mind? Because I've got like a little man cover. I'm not overly hairy, but I got a little bit of chest and stomach hair. And Sam says, would you mind shaving? I said, oh, I thought you wanted a man for this role. So they laughed at that. So I never had to shave on the show. So, but I did. When I got the role, I was actually, when I got word that I got it, I was doing an episode of The Commish with Michael Chiklis. So I was up in Vancouver, and we're about the 3rd day of shooting. And I get a message of call your agent. I was like, okay. No, I wasn't thinking anything because I got to call him all the time. So I get on the phone, and they told me while I was on the set, they go, Kevin, you got the part, you're playing Hercules. And I was flipping out, and so I hung up. I walked on the set, and I said, Chiklis, don't screw with me, I'm half God now. So then I went into a 2-month workout with this guy, Douglas Wong. Douglas Wong was one of Bruce Lee's original students, and he created his own form of martial arts called the White Lotus. It's a kung fu. And they put me through 2 months of unbelievable every day. It was like 6 hours, 6 days a week, on top of the lifting weights to get back up to my college weight when I played football, to learning how to use weapons and falling and different martial arts forms. And then I got to New Zealand, and it was the same type of thing. Every day on set, we rehearsed fights. We did 3 fights every episode. So it was a workout. It was 14 hours a day, and it was 2 hours a day lifting weights every day. I was 17 or 18 hours a day door to door. And they did that the first 2 years, 6 days a week. And then when we spun Xenoff in season 3, Rob Tappert by that time was already, doing Lucy. So he only gave her 5 days a week, and they realized they couldn't do that to me either. So I was like, thank God, because literally it was just, Sundays didn't even exist for me. So I finally got my weekends off for the last 5 years. which was good. It's gonna make a golf more. Thank you.
I want to say first, thank you so much for being here. It's amazing to be able to see you.
It is, isn't it?
I grew up on Hercules, and I know probably a whole bunch of people did, and I loved it. It was time for my mom and I to sit down and not only enjoy your amazing acting, and God, you're great looking, but also to enjoy the actual series. And what I really liked about it was not only all of the amazingness of you, but also the fact that it had a lot of moral fiber to it. The character itself had that, which I feel like a lot of times in TV now is lacking. What you found, like what you want people to kind of get most from Hercules, not just the fighting and the awesomeness, but what
else? I think you kind of hit it. I got that with the letters. I mean, at its peak, and we passed Baywatch in 1996 as most watched show in the world for the last 4 years. I know, it's not cool. It's cool to be part of something like that, you know? And we were so far away in New Zealand that when they told us, we were just like, wow, you know, because we're so away from everything else. And what bummed me the most is I started getting like all these great parties, like Hugh Hefner's pajama party. You know? I'm in New Zealand, 7,000 miles away. I could never go. I was like, damn. But it was the letters that were coming in. You know, at its peak, we're getting about 1,500 letters a week around the world. And that's a lot. That's a lot of letters coming in. And you read what people say, and they said the same thing you said, that the moral messages were in there. That was the writing as well. I think a lot of the humor came from Michael Hurst and myself, because we would ad-lib a lot in scenes, just throw little one-liners in, especially at the end of, like, those tag-outs going into commercial, and they just kept it in. You know, we didn't want them to get upset with us, but you could tell the writers started writing that way by season 3. I think Sorbo will say this, you know, so they come in and just do stuff. But Michael and I would always throw lines to each other, saying, this would be good for you to say this here, good to say it there, and Michael was just an amazing guy to work with. If you don't know, Michael Hurst was he's the premier Shakespearean actor of New Zealand. And he got the order, it's called the Order of the Commonwealth. It's like being knighted in England. And I told him, I'm not calling him Sir. There's just no way. But he's, you know, he's been very busy doing a lot of plays. And I know he directed on Spartacus. So he's been busy, but it's, you know, it was great to be part of a show that touched so many people. Even at this con, every con I do, I get people coming up, you know, I watch a show with my grandfather who passed away, but it, you know, bonds me with him. I watch it with my mom. I get all these different stories from people that really were all about something that they shared together. I got a letter from the editor of TV Guide saying this is the one show that we watch as a family that we never ever miss. So it's pretty neat that, you know, it touched people's lives like that. And thank God for Netflix. I mean, I've got kids now, 18 and younger, that were either too young or weren't born yet, which makes me feel old, and that are watching the show now. I mean, I can be shopping and picking up groceries where I live out in LA, and 12-year-old kids go, oh my God, it's Hercules, you know. You know what's interesting? I should say, they say Kevin Sorbo. Kids, it's the parents go, oh, it's Hercules, and like the 10-year-old mom, it's Kevin Sorbo. Because they're like little sponges. They pay attention to everything, you know. So it's, I don't know, it's funny. But when guys come up to me, it's always interesting. It's like an ego thing, because guys, we're all insecure about ourselves. And they'll come over here, sign this for my kid. And I look at them and go, please. But people are nice. I mean, both characters I played in those long shows were fun parts to play. And the guys, they weren't jerky guys. They were good guys. I think people just said, you know, I could have a beer with a guy. And you could have a beer with me. So there you go.
Thank you so much. And still, you are the only Hercules.
Thank you. Oh, I got to talk about it real quick. Because Dwayne Johnson's a friend. I know Dwayne's a great guy. Great guy. And the new Hercules looks really cool. They sent me the script. I read that script. It didn't read any different than a regular Hercules one-hour episode. You can tell the writers were affected by my show, because they had put in characters and the personalities were the same. So my manager called up Brett Ratner, who directed it, and said, you should really throw Kevin in there as a cameo. Just something, throw him in there. And he said, no. And I'm sorry, but that's stupid to me. I said, you know, it's called the show business. They put Lou Ferrigno in the Hulk as a security guard. I mean, you do it for the people in the audience, even if it's for 5 seconds, they get a kick out of it, you know? And not to throw me in there, I thought it was kind of stupid. But what are you going to do? Yes, sir.
Speaking of movies, how much fun was Cole Conquering Me?
Call came to me, obviously it was right in the middle of the Hercules years, and Universal Studios called for that, and that was Rafaela De Laurentiis, she also produced the movies with Arnold Schwarzenegger. Call was Conan's father, and Arnold was going to play his own father, and he decided last minute something else came up, so he passed on it, so they came to me. And they actually sent another guy down there to New Zealand with me for about 6 weeks when I was wrapping up that season of Hercules. Before we started shooting, we shot it for about 3.5 months in Croatia and Slovakia, Bratislava, Slovakia. And the original script I loved. It was dark. It was dark the way Howard wrote the book. And it was, to me, I wanted to keep it that way. That's one reason I wanted to do it. They decided they didn't want to offend the Hercules audience. And I said, guys, I want to play this guy the way he's written, but they softened it up quite a bit. I still love it. I think it's fun. It's a blast doing it. It was a workout too. They worked me 6 days a week for that one. I went in weighing 235, I left weighing 215, and I was eating 18,000 calories a day. It worked out. You didn't see most of the fights that were in that thing. There were a lot of fights they took out. I just got so beat up in that movie. But it was fun. It was neat to go to those locations. To be in the Adriatic Sea, cruising around, and I'm very fortunate that the things I've seen as an actor, the places that I've been to. So, yeah, but it was fun, and I still get people talking about it all the time. And I know TNT hears it quite a bit. So,
I bet there wasn't a sequel.
Well, we thought there would have been a sequel. I mean, it did. It wasn't a big blockbuster, but it did fine, and they made the money back through DVDs already because they get little residuals now and then. So, but it was I think if they kept it the way it was, I mean, seriously, with the sex and the violence in it, it would have been an X. I don't know if you guys know, the original Conan was an X. That's the rating they gave it, and they had to chop out a lot of it in Arnold's movie to get it down to an R rating because the violence was so heavy, So, but it was, but you don't put a movie out as an X, with bad music and stuff. So, anyway, thanks, man.
My favorite line from Cole. She said she was 19.
I have lived that line. I did. Because he said, because the bride is over 3,000 years old, and I said, she said she's 19. And the crew just cracked up, and Rafaela, she's looking at the script, goes, that's not in the script, but I love that. Keep that in. Do it again. So that's how that happened. This is four boys in my family. We're all like David Letterman smartasses. So it's just sort of the way we are.
Michael Hurst is an amazing actor, and again, I was watching the episode, sorry I don't remember which one, where he's
playing, I don't either.
He's playing a woman in the dance episode, which was hilarious.
And Fancy Free.
Yeah, thank you.
It's one of my favorite episodes. It's Michael's first time directing.
I did not realize it was him until quite
That's based on his mother.
And I was like, oh my God, that's him. Could you tell us a little more about that? You said it was
The Widow Twanky. But it's a character. Michael's a stage actor. So it's a character based on his mother that he did in the play. We all went to see this play. We all sat there watching this Widow Twanky on stage. And I'm looking at Eric Grunemann, our producer, and we got to get that in the show somehow. Because it was just so over the top, ridiculous, and weird. And there's a great picture. I actually should get it blown up and bring it to these cons. There's a great picture of Michael without the wig on. He's got the lashes and all the makeup and the dress with the fake boobs. And he's giving me direction. And I'm looking, you can see in my face, I'm trying not to laugh. It's so funny. But I love that episode. The first time I ever directed it was an episode called The Apple. And I love that episode as well. It was fun to break our teeth in the directing world doing those shows. Because we knew the show so well and we're so comfortable with the directors. It's a lot of work. I mean, your days become even longer, but it was great to do those things. That's where Bruce Campbell started directing our show as well. Quick Bruce Campbell story. Bruce and I talk all the time still. We got to actually do a couple of cons later this year together. And Bruce did that. So our first AD, our first assistant director, was named George Lyle, British guy, married a New Zealand woman that was the casting director for our show. Very good AD. Cracked the whip, made the day move along, but very dry wit, very funny. And very first scene ever with Bruce directing. At the end of the scene, you gotta remember now Bruce is like a total Three Stooges guy, meant to like heroes to him. The scene ends and directors just,
Bruce goes, wah, 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 wah. And then George says, that must be American for cut. So, George's that one, that was great. But Bruce was fun. We had a good one, Bruce. Thanks.
So, I just want to say I'm a fan. I grew up watching a lot of Xena, not so much Hercules, but... Sorry.
That's not a good start. That was our lesbian spinoff show, you know? No, if it wasn't for Hercules, there wouldn't have been a Xena. And she killed a lot of people. I was a good guy.
Question comes from that, actually, because when the couple episodes of Xena that you were on, it tried to make her like a love interest for you. So my question is, did you ever like get jealous of that sexual tension between Xena and Gabrielle?
I wanted to be in the middle. No, you know, that was in the trilogy at the end of season two for Hercules, which was the season one of one-hour episodes. We introduced her character, and that's kind of what happened there. She was using, you know, my buddy Aeolus as a pawn to get to me, to kill me, you know. But I kissed her into being a good person. So. But, I remember when we first, our first crossover episode, and it was like episode three or four of Xena, they brought us, Michael and I, to do a show. And there was a fight scene, actually where Michael broke his wrist in a fight scene. But we had to jump from these rafters in this barn next to Xena and Gabrielle. And so, just maybe ad-libbing again. We landed, boom, and I looked at her and I said, "All right, we're just here to help your ratings." At the time, that was true. The whole thing was to get her show going, and that's what every show does. That has a spinoff. They always kind of do that kind of thing. So, there you go.
Thank you.
All right.
Okay, my question deviates a little bit from Hercules and everything.
All right.
It's about a movie you were in called American Carol.
Just wondering. See a little cameo on that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, you had a little cameo.
What's David Zucker? I'm a big David. He'd make a gun airplane. I mean, that guy is so great. I love his stuff. So.
Actually, that might have answered my question. I was going to ask what was the main impetus for going to.
Yeah, it was just to get a chance to work with him one time. Just to, I mean, I hope I've become friends with him through the years since then. You know, I did one day on it. I just did this little cameo because I just wanted to be on the set and work with him. So that's how that happened.
Awesome.
Simple as that.
Hello.
Hello
again.
Love that t-shirt. Everybody's got to look down. It's two stick people, and one's holding the body part says, "I've got your back."
Yeah.
The other stick person doesn't have a back, and it's cute.
I have a question for you. I know we all have our various favorite episodes from Hercules. My personal favorites were like the alternate universe ones where you all got
sure,
to
but the Sovereign. Here. I love the Sovereign.
Yeah, yeah, and I was wondering like what your either to do or to watch were your favorite episodes for, or if there were.
You know, it's interesting because I've watched every of them once, you know, because when they come out, I watch and they send me a DVD copy, whatever. But my kids now are 8, 10, and 12. In the last couple of years, they've gotten into it. They're watching it, so I'll pop in sometimes to watch some with them. I remember every episode in its entirety. Oh, well, I remember this episode. But their scenes, I go, that's me talking. There's no recall at all. God, that's kind of scary. You know, it's like Alzheimer's moving in on me. But I remember each episode unto itself, just like Andromeda. But there's just, and during, like when I see a cut after we've already filmed it, we could be five episodes down filming from there, so maybe it's 2 months ago, but I remember everything then. Because I'll sit there, why did they put that scene in? Why did they cut that? You know, I sit there and get all critical about things they should have kept in. And I'll call up Tappert and those guys all the time and say, you know, why didn't we do this, why do that? So that's I learned a little bit from that when I got Andromeda, that was part of my contract, was the final edit of all those shows. So, which was kind of cool. I don't like that. Please put this back in. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
from reading your book here, I just want to know how you've been doing since you had that aneurysm in your shoulder.
You know, I'm doing fine. Thank you for asking. I mean, for those of you who don't know, at the end of the season, it was like 3 months, the last 3 months of season five, I was having a lot of problems with my left shoulder. I couldn't figure what was going on. And these fingers on this hand, these three fingers here, were getting colder and colder. It was, it was just weird. I couldn't figure it out. I was blowing it off. I mean, I'm next jock. Hey, no big deal. No big deal. I'm fine. And I came back to the States to do publicity on Call of the Conqueror. So we finished season five, and I was supposed to start another movie. I was going to do another movie called Black Dog with Meatloaf and Randy Travis. And I had to drop out of the movie. I was actually replaced with Patrick Swayze, who ended up playing my part. But I was on this tour, and I was in New York. I did Letterman, then I go up to Boston. I was doing some stuff up there, and the show, my arm was just killing me. I've been going on for like 4 months at this point. So they sent a doctor to my room. The university called the doctor, and gave the house call at the hotel. This guy comes in. He introduced himself. His name is Dr. Dye. D-Y-E. And I said, are you kidding me? You're a freaking doctor. You know? I mean, come on. Anyway. But he hit him, he's the one who hit it on the nail. He said, I think it's something to do with cardiovascular. You should really get that checked out. So I got back to LA. I see my doctor in Beverly Hills. He found a lump in my shoulder. And it sort of freaked me out. He says, I'm going to do a biopsy on this. And I was like, oh, okay. I don't know what's going on. He told me later he thought it might have been cancer. So I went to my chiropractor, and 8 years I've been going to this chiropractor. He's never cracked my neck. You can crack anything else in my body, don't crack my neck because I don't like it. I'm laying on my back. I hear a voice in my head say, don't let him crack your neck. I opened my eyes. I said, did you say something? He didn't say anything. I close my eyes again. Voice says, don't let him crack your neck. I'm thinking to myself, why am I hearing this voice? He's never cracked my neck before. Why would I hear this voice tell me not to bump? He cracks my neck. And what it was in my left shoulder was an aneurysm in my left subclavicle, in the main artery feeding down this arm. Like, these fingers were getting cold because it was getting blood clots were slowly, all these months, were getting spit off into here. Well, that crack forced 3 of the clots into my brain. I suffered 3 strokes. And that's what my book is about, to recover from that. And a lot of people don't know about this because this is the same weekend the Princess Di died. This was in September of 1997. They kept it very quiet in the studio. All they let out from the hospital was that I had an aneurysm. But I spent the next 4 months, obviously I was very lucky I could have died instantly. 3 bullets to the brain, you could be dead. I could be in a wheelchair the rest of my life, I could be whatever. But I spent the next about 3.5 months, I had to drop out of the movie, of course, learning how to walk again, because 2 strokes went to my balance center, 1 went to my vision. I still have a 10% loss in both eyes. And because of my age and my 30s, and because of my physical fitness level, it helped a lot. By doctors, I had vertigo, I had spinning sensations, didn't matter if I was standing, seated, laying down, I had the sensation I was falling backwards 24 hours a day. And that lasted for about 1.5 years. It's not a fun feeling. It took me 3 full years to feel recovered. If you look at season 6 on Hercules, you can see where I lost about 15 pounds of muscle because I wasn't able to work out. When I got back, I went from a 14-hour workday to 1 hour a day the first month, 2 hours the second month, 3 the third, just slowly built back up. I never got back to full days, 14-hour days in that show the last 2 years. So it was, it really was, they just realized, they streamlined shooting. They didn't have to have us there that long. There's a lot of wasted time on sets too. But it took me, the first year into Andromeda was tough still, but by the end of season one there, 3 years after the strokes, I was doing much better. And I get better all the time. I passed every physical exam they can give, so. They don't know why it happened. And my wife bugged me for years to write that book, so I finally wrote it. And I've been doing speaking engagements all across North America, and it's been amazing. Because it's not only stroke victims, it's heart attack, survivors, heart attack survivors, car crash survivors. It doesn't matter what it is. People come up to me crying, saying your book has motivated me to stop feeling sorry for myself. Because it's all about pushing. Thank you. Because, it's really all about, we're all going to hit that roadblock someday. All of us are. We just don't know what time, what age, or when and where. And it's how you react to hitting that, because your life is going to change. And we have a tendency, when things don't go our ways, that we point fingers and blame other people for our problems. Look in the mirror, that's where the problem is. So you got to get past that and push yourself past that. And that's what I did. I just said, I'm not going to just hold me back. There's just no way. And thank God Universal kept the show going, because Hercules gave me a light at the end of a very, very dark, long tunnel at the time in my life. So. I'm lucky to be here, but thank you for getting the book. Get it, it's a good read, it's humorous too. It's not just all feeling sorry for yourself. It's a good motivational book. It's really about not letting anybody set your limitations.
Yeah, I just want to also know where I can get a signed book for my son.
I'll be down at the table. Come on down. Well, not at the table down there. Yeah. I gotta do this.
And all that you've been through and overcome and all you want to do to help kids, maybe you should run for president.
I suffer from common sense. It wouldn't make sense. This country's not ready for that.
Yeah, you're probably too smart to want the job, ain't you?
I wouldn't want that job.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You're probably too smart to want it. Now, my question is two parts, and I'll just ask them both so you can go through them as you like. If you could pick any show, whether it's sci-fi, fantasy, or another genre that you have not been on, that's been on recently, and could be on that show, which one would you pick? And B, you said you played college football. Mm-hmm. If you'd been able to have a pro football career, which team would you have wanted to be with?
Minnesota Vikings. I'm from Minnesota, guys. I'm sorry. You know? I'm loyal to my state. Even though I left, I still watch. I'm a big Twins fan. So, I mean, I'm a fan. So I go to sports in L.A. I mean, I like hockey. I grew up with the old North Stars. I got mad when they moved to Dallas and won a cup 2 years later. I wasn't happy about that. But, you know, I'm loyal to, I love sports. I mean, I watch anything and everything that's on. I can't sit and watch sports. I don't really do that with television even. I mean, I also have my computer on my lap, and it's, you know, I'm always busy with the projects I have going on. But and television is great, because if there's a great play, they show a replay anyway. So, he scores, okay, I'll look at it. You know, so, but, yeah, what's the first part of the question?
Any show recently on TV that you've never been on, if you could pick one, your first choice, which one would it be to get to be on?
I love doing comedy. I had a sitcom that I sold to ABC back in fall 2005 after Andromeda was done. It's still a sore spot with me because it tested number one in the ratings of 28 new shows, and the president of ABC didn't pick it up. And to me, it's like, why do you spend the money and time putting it out there? It was 28 shows they shot, 28 pilots they shot, and this is typical. They bring it to 8 random cities across America, and in every city we tested number one. Why wouldn't you put that on the air? The 7 shows they ultimately picked up of the 28, didn't, none of them last the past 6 months. They all got canceled. But I have to give you an insight of the president at that time. He's been since fired, thank God. He's an idiot. I'm sorry. Jerry Bruckheimer is a buddy of mine. Jerry Bruckheimer brought CSI into him back in 2000, and he said, "You're a movie guy, you don't know TV." Gee, has CSI done pretty well? How many spinoffs? How many? And he called American Idol a stupid idea and turned it down. And the only reason why he took Dancing with the Stars back then is because, well, American Idol made it, someone else would give it a try. You know? And it's amazing to me. And the little insight to my show, it's a show that I created called Bobby Cannon. And I was playing like a 42-year-old quarterback, Brett Favre type of quarterback, end of his career. It's like a coach meets cheers type of thing. And I hired Barry Kemp to write it. Now Barry Kemp, you may not know his name, but you know his work. He was the head writer on Taxi in the 70s. In the 80s, he did a show called Bob Newhart that lasted about 7 years. In the 90s, he had a little show called Coach with Craig T. Nelson. Very good writer. We shot the pilot, people loved it, live audience loved it. And the only reason he gave for not picking up the show is he said it was too old-fashioned, like in Everybody Loves Raymond, which had just gone off the air the year before after 9 years. And I looked at him and said, "Yeah, you wouldn't want one of those, would you?" And then he banned me for the next 3 years from the ABC. Welcome to the pettiness of Hollywood. Until he got fired, he said he will not read for any shows on ABC. That's it, I don't care.
Hey Kevin, how you doing?
Good, how you doing?
Pretty good.
You got a chip on your shoulder?
A little flying lemur. With all the shows you worked on and all the guest celebrities and all the regular cast, who would you pick as probably one of your favorite cast members, regular cast members to work with, and who was your favorite guest star?
Oh man, that's unfair. Really, I mean, there's only, I look at 250 hours of television between Hercules and Andromeda, and there's really only 2 actors that were a pain in the butt. Not gonna name them. But that's only 2, you know? As a guest star, I love Gina Torres. Gina was awesome. She did like 67 episodes. She's a hot, tall drink of water, man, I'll tell you. And she's fun. You know, she's shooting Suits now up in Toronto. And we keep in touch. She sends me some pictures now and then of what's going on around there and stuff. And She married Lawrence Fishburne. And Lawrence, when she a couple when he was shooting the first Matrix, they were shooting in Australia. So he would pop over to New Zealand. It's like a 3-hour flight when he had time off and hang out on the set all day. And it was kind of cool to get to know him as well. But, you know, Michael Hurst, obviously, for Hercules. And Andromeda, the whole cast was fun. We had so much. I wish they would have shot our rehearsal scenes. Because they were hilarious. Everybody came in. Everybody was very professional. Everybody knew their lines. They came in. We knew what we were doing. Every director we had was cool and easy. The sets were ready to go all the time. And we just laughed all the time. I remember Keith Hamilton Cobb, who played Tyr on the show. Keith always has a lean on something when he does his scenes. He's got a lean on something. So in the Eureka Morrow in one of the episodes, he's supposed to run in to deliver some kind of news to us. So all the other six members, we all were leaning. And he came in. He goes, "You bastards." He ran in and just saw us all. He walked. Good, that was our laugh. But it was, but on that show, it was probably Gordon Willett who played Harper. He is the Northern Hemisphere equivalent of Michael Hurst. I think if they ever meet in the same hemisphere, there's going to be an explosion somewhere. An implosion. But actually, Michael came up and did an episode of Andromeda. Shaved off his eyebrows and stuff. He was cool. He's a nut job. You bet.
Hi, Kevin.
Hello.
I just
want
to say thank you for being such a great Hercules. You're the best. Also, my family loves you, so that's it. And it was such a family-friendly show, I feel like, most of the time.
What were you going to say?
Special things there, but, you know, that was, you know.
The family can enjoy that, too.
So I was just wondering, the darkening and, like, hardening of characters nowadays, like you were talking about, mm-hmm. of course, Spartacus, and you also was talking about you wanted the Conqueror to be even darker. How do you feel about the wave towards, like, the darkening of these types of characters?
Well, we're kind of doing everything right now. I'll be honest, not to be like a priss about it or something, but there's nothing on that 7 to 10, 7-11 block anymore that I want my kids to watch. There's nothing like that, which is weird to me. But every show's gotten, you know, and I'm not a prude that way. I mean, but I don't want them to watch 2.5 Men. I love it. I get a kick out of it. I realize, you know, but even that gets over the top sometimes with every joke's got to have a sexual innuendo to it. That gets a little tired, too. I'm reliving my childhood with them because I've got them looking at the Brady Bunch, Dream of Jeannie, you know, Flintstones, Gilligan's Island. I love them, and I remember those episodes better than my own. That's the thing that's funny. But they're hooked on that stuff. But I mean, that's kind of, I don't know, it's just, you know, the moral bar just keeps getting raised higher and higher in this country. And like I said, I don't want to be a prude about it, but I mean, I don't want to hurt, you know, creative flow or whatever it may be. I mean, I'll go to R-rated movies too and things like that, but you know, I've got a movie out right now. I hope people go take a look. It's called God's Not Dead. Here's a little $2 million movie that's approaching $15 million in the box office. It's insane. And what that shows is that people are looking for stuff like that. There's something for everybody. You know, I mean, I had some guy come up to me yesterday and said, "I've never seen any of your stuff, but I got to get some proof of a fan of yours." And I get that. That's why there's 200 channels to choose from. You know, I mean, you look at American Idol and say the most watched show, it's got 22 million people watching, and they go, yeah, but there's 310 million people in the country. It means a lot of people aren't watching it. So there's a lot of choices out there, and that's just why Hollywood just keeps throwing darts out there and saying, I hope we watch. But, you know, I love Walking Dead. You know, it's pretty violent, but I think it's great. Breaking Bad, I mean, those are great shows. And I think that's the best thing that's come out of reality TV, which I'm not a fan of. But the best thing that's come out of that, it's made cable television up their game in terms of original programming. You know, from Mad Men to Psych to whatever it is. There's just a lot of better stuff coming out in that world. So we'll see what happens.
I thank you for your dedication to education.
Thank you. Angel.
Don't you? Don't about that. All right, great.
That's true. Quick. Gentleman in front has an episode copy of my DVD Avenging Angel. It was the highest rated movie in the history of Hallmark, and they thought about making it into a series. But see what happened with that. That year they made a deal with Martha Stewart and then gave her the kitchen sink, and her ratings were horrendous. Oh, they lost money on it. She got millions and millions, but the ratings were less than 1%. They got to the point that they said the ratings looked like there was nobody watching, there was negative people watching. So now Hallmark just last year started getting original programming. And they got one of the Andy McDowell Cedar Springs or Cedar something. And there's a couple, they're doing a couple. But I just sold a series to Hallmark. And we're going to shoot the 2 hour movie this summer. If it rates well in November, please watch in November, then they'll make it a series. It's called I Can't Get Arrested, and it's kind of like a moonlighting show, if you remember Moonlighting with Bruce Willis. And we'll see what happens. It's a very fun romantic comedy. It's a great idea for a series, so we'll see what happens. Hello, who are you?
Gabrielle.
Oh my gosh.
So I was wondering about working with Michael Hirst. You guys obviously built up a rapport with your characters in the first few seasons, but then when his character got killed, but they didn't apparently want to kick him off the show, so they brought the other guy in as a character. Like, how did that change the way you guys worked together, since he was playing not the same guy, but the same guy?
It drove me nuts. I think they killed him 3 times. It drove me crazy. Trust me, I had big fights with Tapper. I said, this makes no sense. 1 time is enough, leave it alone. Because I think we did it in one of the first movies. And I think it might have been the very first one, the Amazon movie. And that was with Roma Downey, about your height, playing Queen of the Amazons. So before she was touched by an angel, she was touched by our kids.
I gotta say, Kevin Sorbo, you have the best one-liners.
I was hoping you guys had a screening here, because I was going to show you. I've got a video clip put together of about, I don't know, 60 different women I kissed on that show, to the Tom Jones singing I Want Your Kiss. And they didn't have it here. They usually, most cons I go to, they usually have a screen set up and a video and stuff, but I'm letting the awesome con go. You guys know, next year, that's what you need to do.
Next year.
You have to. I got a couple down there. I did. I have about 2 or 3 left that I just brought with me. It's like 13 chapters of the best of Hercules put together. So if you're interested, I got them down on my table. And it's pretty fun. It's a big mixture of stuff. It's like me fighting with swords, me fighting with other, using the bad guys' bodies to fight other bad guys. Just a mixture of stuff that would just get people that would get a kick out of.
Hi
there. Come a little closer. To the mic.
Closer.
Closer.
Is that better?
It's better.
I mean, you can keep saying closer, I like that too.
That was an amazing conversation.
You know, but I'm not as good as I once was, but I'm good once as I was.
Sorry.
But can I give you a high five?
Creepy old man like Aquaman from Jeff Hotelis. But no, that's a heavy compliment. I appreciate that.
Thank you. So the last question?
Maybe the last question, guys?
Kevin, your demographics.
Question.
How you doing?
Doing good.
What was it like working with Lewis and Lawless?
We can do 2 more quick questions. Right, guys,
let's throw in 2 more.
The guys are up here. Come back in line. We'll do 2 more. But let's do these last 3.
That's right.
Lucy did about 4 different characters in the first 2 years. So she played different characters. She was in the very first movie we did with Roma. And she had like 3 or 4 lines in it and stuff like that. So it was just, you know, it didn't hurt her marrying the executive producer of the show. Sometimes that helps. But you know, she was always professional, very funny, and easy to work with. And when I first got down there, because you know Lawless is her husband's first name, so Garth Lawless was her husband, because she's got an older daughter Daisy. It's got to be Daisy's got to be 25 now, 26 or something like that, somewhere in there, yeah, maybe even older. But she's come on set. Daisy's come on set all the time and hang out. But she's cool. They're all like I said. There was only 2 people. They were guest stars.
Who
came
are
down.
They? Tell them.
Not telling
me.
No.
Who cares?
That was clever.
Alright. Everyone has the internet. Come on.
I'll look
at Thank you. You're welcome.
Hi, Kevin. Love Andromeda, love.
of Hercules. But I have a question on the video. I saw you were asking people to help fund the Gosnell movie.
Right.
We're getting political now. Will you be in that movie if it goes?
What's that?
Will you be in that movie if it goes?
No. I may do the documentary voiceover for it and stuff. It's just, you know, it just deals with sort of a touchy subject, but we won't get into it right now. You know. Doesn't go politically correct world, you also offend half the people. So. You like blue, I hate blue. I want blue off the world.
All right, last question. So as Hercules started-
Is that a Rush? Is that Rush?
This is Rush, yes.
In the first season of Hercules, Rush did our theme music for Andromeda.
Really?
But it's so bizarre.
Yeah.
It's so weird. If you get for it's a little weird. It was sort of I think it just elevated people's blood pressure.
Yeah.
And so many people. And I like what they did the last four seasons better, to be honest with you. But it's cool to have Rush be part of it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Awesome. So as Hercules started to become more popular, and as a result of that, of course, you started seeing things like the more art, like your names on T-shirts and action figures. Yeah. What was your favorite piece of merchandise or marketing, and what was probably like your least favorite? Something that you saw, like,
well, you know, the cool thing is, I grew up in Minnesota. I remember coming back, it was the end of season two, I think it was Christmas time, we're coming back and spending Christmas with my mom and dad. And we went into a Target store. And a little backup at Target. Target's headquarters in Minneapolis. Minneapolis has a lot of big, like Best Buy, Dairy Queen, 3M, all these companies.
Nice.
I did a lot of commercials back in my college days. That's how I got my Screen Actors Guild at Ocean Board and SAG card. And we went to Target, my mom and I, and we walked in there, and there was an entire row of Hercules toys. And that was the first time I'd seen pictures of the packaging, and I had okay things and stuff like that, but I sat to my mom, and she looked at me, she started giggling. And it was very surreal. It was weird. It wasn't like I got some big, yeah, this is me, it's cool. It was weird. It just sort of takes away what, I'll be honest, what I don't like, I got called, Sidney Sheinberg was the president of Universal Studios at the time of the series when we got picked up. At the end of season one, they wanted to do some action figures and stuff like that. So I was back in LA doing some publicity, and Sidney calls me and he says, hey, we're going to have people bidding on the Hercules stuff. Do you want to come in? Because I was a marketing advertising double major, which he knew in college. So it was right up my alley, you know. I wanted to be Darren Stevens from Bewitched, you know, I wanted to get into that stuff. And so I said, yeah, so I came in there and I said, all these suits from Universal, and they had each got Kenner, Mattel, Toy Biz all came in to pitch. At the end of the pitches, he said, what do you think? And I said, well, I wouldn't go with Toy Biz. And they said, why? I said, I think their products are inferior and they're giving you the better deal up front, but overall, I don't really like the product. I think you gotta go with Kenner, Mattel. I've seen their stuff before, their action figures are classy, they're great collector's items. Well, they didn't listen to me. I was right. And what Toy Biz offered was, they said, look, we made way too many Masters of the Universe Dolph Lundgren steroid-filled body dolls. So all they did was rip off his head and pop my head on top. If you see the doll, it's like this ridiculous 300-pound, you know, 20-inch waist, 49,000-inch chest. And they made Michael, hers, were the same size. Now, he's like, my 6-year-old niece and nephew, you know, they know that Michael's a foot short. So it was just a cheap way to do it. But what's interesting, and I've signed about 10 of them since I've been here, is that they become amazing collector's items as long as they're still in the proper case and stuff like that. So I bring like one or two to show, and they always get sold, and somebody else picks them up. So that was a part I hated about it, but there were some things. They did a bow and arrow thing that was kind of cool and stuff like that, but I just think they could have done a better job, but what are you going to do?
Awesome. And also, just since we're from Minnesota, I just have to ask, were you a Golden Gopher?
I was a Golden Gopher, yes.
Cool. Class of 09.
Oh, really? Wow. They got a new football stadium. It's awesome.
It's beautiful.
You know what? We're in the Big Ten. We got like Wolverines and Badgers. We're the Golden Gophers. I mean, come on.
Great school, but it's
a great school. When I was there, my senior, I played football at Morehead State University. So I went further north, Fargo, Morehead area, up by the Red River, and then, you know, like 85 below for 6 months straight up there. I transferred to U of M. It was the largest campus in the country at the time, 80,000 students. 80,000 students. And that's crazy, but it was fun. It was a great area there. Good fun. Anyway, thank you guys for coming in. Thank you for coming. We'll be right back.
And that is the end. That is the end of all of our panels from AwesomeCon. You guys have listened. If you've been listening for the past 4 weeks, and I hope you guys are, this show is specifically for you. You've listened to Lessons from Curators, The Other Side of the Table. You listened to the Karen and Joe Show live with the Walking Dead guests. You've listened to the you've listened to Pro Wrestling Today, the new movement, and you've just finished listening to a conversation with Kevin Sorbo and Joe Carabeo and friends. That's what we'll name.
Friends.
That's what we'll name it, because everyone there had a great time. I could see the smiles on their faces, Carolyn. That's how amazing it was to be up there. And I know they weren't really looking at me, but like I felt like I was like the Andy Richter. I was like there.
You were the conductor.
Yeah, I was the conductor. You know, I was the Paul Schaefer. I was there. I was like, you know, if there's that moment we need to spike it up, I was like, there, let's spike it up. Me and Kevin Sorbo was a team. I was Aeolus. That's basically who I was. I was his sidekick up there. It was pretty crazy. Because you know what's really crazy about that? I don't know if you felt this yet, but it's like, you know, when you're watching a person for like that many years, and then like you zoom in forward and you're like, holy crap, I've felt this many times. I was sitting there and I was like, man, I watched this guy on television forever and probably still to this day, and now we're like a team up here? That's pretty crazy.
It's pretty neat, Joe.
That's pretty, yeah.
So you have a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
Hopefully not once-in-a-lifetime, well, but that's a great opportunity.
I mean, like, how many people can say that they've done that? Not many.
Yeah, I can look back at it now and really enjoy the opportunity. Maybe I can do it again next year. Maybe we're so good we can bring it the fire back.
You can bring it. I think you do a good job of moderating.
I think I'm a damn good host. Maybe I can make some more money off of being a host. That would be awesome. I will do the James Franco and do the Oscars. That'll be amazing. First, I gotta fix my jaw structure problem and the ability to pronounce words properly and not mumble. I gotta get through those first. But after that, I'm ready. I'm ready to do that.
You're almost there.
I'm almost there.
You're in training.
I can be a little better on the mic because I can do the character voice, but you know, that's how it is. But again, thank you, AwesomeCon. Thank you, Ben Penrod, for letting us do all this stuff there at AwesomeCon.
Yes, big thanks to Ben.
Great show. Yeah. So I guess next week we'll be back. Me and you'll be back.
Back in action.
What will we,
Carolyn and Joe show?
What will we have to get off of our chest then? What will
so
we?
So much.
The
I mean,
world.
We haven't had like a full-on Carolyn and Joe talk in the like close to a month because we've been running the AwesomeCon episode, but we'll be back.
With a vengeance, ladies and gentlemen.
Just in case you're one of our listeners who like really want to like hear what we have to say.
I think there are. When we die, we're gonna have so many of these that people will just play them the whole entire time. That's what I look forward to, and that's what they're gonna get here. And anyone else who listens to the show, I think you're absolutely awesome for taking the time of your day and letting us, you know, be in your head for an hour.
In so many weeks we've been going with the show. What number are we at now?
I don't know. We're pretty high.
How many years have we? We haven't missed a week.
Over 4 years.
It's awesome.
So we'll be back next week. Next week, guys. So as usual, you can catch us on the CarolynandJoeShow.com. Look us up on iTunes. Look us up on Stitcher Radio. Look us up on WordPress. Look us up on Tumblr. Just Google us. You can do that. But also remember, this show is brought to you by Stray Productions, the great people at Stray Productions. Check them out at StrayProductions.com. Also, check out me, Joe Carabeo, JoeCarabeo.com. GoAstray.tumblr.com. Also, check out our films, One-Shots.com. YouTube, whatever. And don't forget, I have one of the best cartoonists ever that has ever been imagined sitting across from me in the studio today. Check out her work, Karen Bolevsky. Go to curls-studio.com/curls for her comic strip. Also, change that backslash and go to Sketch Before Sleep for another edition. Just go to curls-studio.com. And that is that. I'll catch you later, Carolyn.
Catch you guys later. See you next week.
That's right. Remember, be excellent to each other, or I'll get you.